Hello. All right. Man, I'm so glad you guys are here. Spring break is over. We didn't even get to enjoy it because we were swimming the entire time. So if you don't know what that means, just you're dense. We love you. Motion loves dense people too. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm with you. I'm dumb, but I can lift heavy things. So it works out well. Hey, for full disclosure on the story that I told on the last song, my daughter can fly. Like, she is fast. She did not get that from me. Obviously, right? I am not built for speed. So anyway, we were really frustrated with the way that the coaches, because this is my problem. Like I mentioned, I'm one of the over-involved parents. So I have a tendency to think that the people who are coaching can't coach as well as I can coach, although that's their job to coach, which they can't, obviously. So we were just really frustrated with the way that they were handling. And man, I remember we got home late that night. I mean, it was like, The track meet, we got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was over at 10 o'clock at night. And I got home and we were just really frustrated. I was really frustrated. Shelly was cool. Not so much. So anyway, and I was thinking about how frustrated I was at the way that my daughter had been handled, essentially. And I walked into the bathroom. I was about to brush my teeth and go to bed. And I was just like, God, why am I so angry about this? And he was like, that's how I feel about you. And like the jealousy that we have for our kids is the jealousy that God has for us. And I just thought, man, that is so powerful. That can change your life. Anyway, today we're continuing our series called Lights. Kristen started the series last week. And didn't she do, how many of you guys were here last week? Yeah, Kristen, if she's in here, I don't know where she is. She did a fantastic job. And so, I thought you were pointing. You, my bad. And so, anyway, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. And so when it was really cool, kind of just the little things that matter and stick out. It doesn't say that you are the lights of the world, plural. It says that you are collectively the light of the world. And so that was one of the really cool things that she pointed out, and how we have all that we need in the way of resources to be the light of the world. You may not think that you have very much, but if you take a step back and you look at the rest of the world and the needs, the real needs that people have, man, we've got it going pretty good, right? Like, you've got so much more than you really need. I've always thought of it like this. I've got everything I need and most of what I want. Like, that's just how we live as Americans. And there's so many people around the world who don't have water to drink, don't have a place to live, don't have a roof over their heads, don't have food to eat. Do we really have needs, right? So don't get me started on that. Kristen, you can listen to the podcast. She does such a fantastic job. This week, we're going to talk about bright lights. And what we're going to talk about specifically is how we can cause our light to shine just a little bit brighter, because that's what we're called to do, right? It says, again, in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world. And so if you are the light of the world, then you should want your light to shine bright. And it's poetic sometimes. Maybe it's just the brightness of the light that makes me feel like I'm a beat poet or something. And so, I'm such a nerd at heart. I wanted to do, there are so many things I wanted to do in this series. Do you guys, have y'all seen bioluminescent organisms? You know what those are? They're like, there's these things, these plants that produce their own light. They have an ability to produce their own light. And I'm like, man, that will preach. That's good. Like, we produce our own. But it's too nerdy, and there's only three of you guys from Laterno that wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. Right? And then the other thing I wanted to talk about maybe is like LED light. These are LED lights. And so LED is light emitting diodes. Weird. And so you can produce the same amount of light with about 10% of the energy. And I was thinking, that's good. Like, talk about like working in grace instead of like working in your own strength and allowing God to work through you. You can do so much more work at so much less energy. But we ain't got time for all that, right? That's all good. And then I thought about maybe talking about the difference between a spotlight and a floodlight and how you can put a spot on something and you're really focused on just your small circle, your four and no more. Or you can be a floodlight and be more concerned with more people, which I think is what we're called to do. But again, we ain't got time for all that. What we're going to talk about is how we can increase our light. And I think that we have a responsibility, not just a responsibility, you have a personal responsibility, because this is what we like to do in the American church. We want church leaders and pastors and other people to have the responsibility to make us grow spiritually. That ain't their job. You know whose job that is? That's your job. My pet peeve, like, I don't get me started, I will start stomping and hollering and kicking and crying when you start telling me, oh, I left that church because I didn't get fed. Good Lord, work up an appetite.
We're going to preach that one day. One day it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay, what's I even talking about? Y'all got me all frustrated. You have a personal responsibility to keep your light shining and to make sure your light is shining as bright as it can. Here's our kind of go-to verse. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." And every time I read that verse, I think about, we went on a mission trip to Haiti a few years ago. We've been a few times. And so it's really cool. The Mission of Hope compound that we stay on, I say it's a compound, it really is. They've got guards and guns and all that other stuff too. You just never know, right? And so we stay on the compound, and it's across the peninsula. I'm assuming that's a peninsula. From Port-au-Prince, which is the main city. It's where you fly into when you fly into Haiti. And it's so cool because at night, you can look across the water and you see all of the lights kind of flickering and kind of, you know how when you see something at a distance, it's like they're pulsating, but they're not. It's just whatever it is that causes it to do that. And so every time I read that, I'm like, I think of that particular situation when you look out and you saw these lights that were shining across the water up on a hill. It can't be hidden. There's no hiding that light. And I think for us, it's kind of the same thing. You are the light of the world. And a city that's up on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That would be dumb. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's some good stuff. And I think there's something in there that we could all take away from just that today and go do some work, right? Like, I think we all have a responsibility. And what we can do, this is what happens, I think, oftentimes as followers of Jesus, we kind of get really comfortable with where we're at, with who we're with, kind of, you know, in our walk, in our church family, and you know, again, kind of the spotlight, R4 and no more. And we lose sight of people that are around us, that God has put in your path, that maybe are hurting, that are maybe in despair, that maybe need somebody to be there for them, and you may just be the one that they need, right? Because this is what's so crazy. Like, if I were God, I would not have done it like this, because I don't trust people. But God chose to use people to spread his message. God chose to use people to build his kingdom. God chose to use us, to build his kingdom. And it's our responsibility to do something with that. And so, like I said, that's kind of, it's where we're going today. We're going to talk about increasing our light. As we head into the Easter season, we'll talk more specifically about the light shining before others. But today, I want to make sure that we do the most that we can with the light that we've got to be as bright as we can. You can be like this little guy. Cute, right? Not very effective. Doesn't do a whole lot of good. Trust me, we've used them and they're terribly ineffective. Or, boom, you know, you can light something up. And I think that's kind of what we should strive for. That should be our goal is, you know, do we want to be cute or do we want to be effective? Do we want to get some work done? Do we want to make a difference? Do we want to have an impact in the world that we live in? Because I think a lot of people are just comfortable being cute, right? Cute's lame. Powerful, impact, influence. That's the goal. That's where we should look for. That's what we should strive for. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about is let's go for this. Let's go big. Go big, go bright, go home. Right? Leviticus chapter 24. I don't know if we've ever preached out of Leviticus because that's one of those verses or one of those books that you start reading and you're like, oh, Lord, what have I signed up for? Right? So you just have to remember that's some Old Testament stuff and, you know, they're cutting the throats of goats and crazy stuff. And I mean, it's good. But there was a really cool passage in there in Leviticus chapter 24 when they had, you got to understand, the Old Testament had the tabernacle of Moses. We won't get a lot of detail in this, but I just kind of want you to have a backstory. So Moses, God gave Moses this plan to build a tabernacle, and he told him exactly how to do it. And there were two rooms. There was the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And then you had just the holy place, which where a lot of the other things were. And one of the items in the holy place was a lampstand. And it was this really cool lampstand with seven branches, and it had almonds and all kinds of cool stuff. And it was made out of pure gold. You guys tracking? You're like, I felt the disconnect. So that's not really important. What's important is that there's a lamp in the holy place, and this is the command. This was what Moses was told to do with that lamp. The Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel, not ask, not, you know, suggest, not, hey, maybe you should think about, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from crushed olives. That oil is for the lamps so that these lamps may never go out. Aaron, who is Moses' brother, he was responsible for all of the stuff that happened in the tabernacle, the temple. Aaron will keep the lamps burning in the meeting tent from evening until morning before the Lord. This is in front of the curtain of the Ark of the Agreement. This law will continue from now on. Aaron must always keep the lamps burning on the lampstands of pure gold before the Lord. And so there's this, I think there's some symbolism in there for us. There's this lampstand that was in the holy place in this room before the real room. And it was the responsibility of the priest to keep the lamp burning, to keep the light on. That's our responsibility, is to keep our light on. If Jesus said that you are the light of the world, what good does it do if you turn it off? What good does it do if it's off when it needs to be on and it's on when it needs to be off? Like, I think that light is selectively used, right? If it's daylight outside, you don't need the light. But when it's dark, then you need the light. And I think it's our responsibility to keep the light on, especially when the light needs to be on. And so you can do one of two things with this. You can be comfortable being a 40-watt bulb. I don't even know. This is probably 25 watts. It's probably 2 watts. Trash. Or you can strive to be a 100-watt bulb. You can look at ways or look for ways to increase the light in your life, ways for you to shine brighter in the world that you live in. And I think you should do that. You should be challenged as a follower of Jesus to do more. Because, man, I just don't believe that we're supposed to get really comfortable where we're at. I don't know if this is accurate or biblical or not, but I've always liked the idea of you can be content but never satisfied. Right, be content with where you're at and what God has done for you and the things that he's accomplished in your life, but don't be satisfied. Always want more. Always want to grow and change and be more of who it is that he wants you to be. And so without further ado, what we're going to look at is some ways to keep our light burning and to cause it to burn brighter. And the first point is this, if you take notes, note takers or history makers or something like that. That was funny. It's good. The first point is light from the light. And it seems very redundant, but you'll understand in a minute. One way that we can increase our light, so to speak, is to stay connected to the collective light. One way that we can increase our personal light is to stay connected to the collective light. The individual light that you have, when you join forces with the collective light, your light gets brighter. And so what I think we need to do is, man, you need to stay connected to this community, this collection of awesome. Like I said, most churches collect crazy, we collect awesome. So stay connected to this collection of awesome, because when you do, your light gets brighter. I'm just convinced. Now, I know that the world that we live in and kind of American culture devalues church and involvement in church, but you can't convince me that it's not powerful. You can't convince me that it doesn't have purpose and meaning for our lives. You can't convince me that we're not built for deep and meaningful relationships. Like, there's no convincing me otherwise. I just believe that God created us the way that he created us for a reason. He created us with the emotions that we have that connect us to other people. He created us with chemicals in our brains that bond us to other people when we have human interaction. You just can't convince me that we weren't created for relationships. And if we were created for relationships, then this is where it needs to happen. This is where your life should be rooted. There's this old passage in one of the old books in the Old Testament, right? I think it's Psalms, and it talks about being planted in the house of God. Don't just show up when it feels, you know, good for you. Don't just show up when it's convenient for you and there's not something else, a better alternative. Be planted. Be rooted in the house of God. And the relationships that you have are what enable you to do that. And I think it's so important. And I don't care what other people think about, you know, the does church really have value? You're absolutely freaking right. Try it and you'll see. Try before you buy. Come on, son. We were built for this. We were built for community. We were built for relationships. And I think the church is where that happens best. Because what happens, this is what happens. When we connect ourselves to the light, the singular light, our individual light gets brighter. When you come to church, you probably get encouraged a little bit. I hope you do. What our goal, we want to be the most encouraging and welcoming church on the face of the planet. Like, I don't know, there are things that other churches can do way better than us, but I don't think they can do that any better than us. And that's our goal. That's one of the things that we strive for and want to do. So when you come to church, man, I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that you feel a little bit better when you leave than you did when you got there, right? And if you do, then your light got a little bit brighter. Because when you go back out, if you've been encouraged, you're more apt and equipped to encourage other people. Your light got a little bit brighter. You guys, you're not tracking, man. Or maybe you're not feeling it quite like I'm feeling it. Struggle. It's real. Church, it's also a place where you can learn more about God and His Word. Now, again, I don't believe that it's my primary responsibility for you to know, or the only place that you'll learn and know about God and things that He wants for your life. But I think it's a great place. It's a supplemental place for you to learn about God and truth and things that you can learn to apply to your life that calls not just knowledge and information, but calls transformation. Like, that's the thing we should do with God's Word. Like, don't read just for knowledge. Don't read just for information. Like, and I've heard this is so cheesy, but it's so good. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Woo! Anyway, so as we learn about these things, it should change us. And as it changes us, it can help us to change others. The things that God does in us, He can do through us to help other people. So that's another thing that being part of the church does for you. It causes your light to shine brighter because the things that God does in you, He can help you or use you to help other people. And it, man, that happens so often, doesn't it? Like, something that's going on in your life, it's bound to happen that you're going to run across somebody who's going through what you just went through. And God uses our experiences to help other people. And it's such a powerful, powerful thing. Church also gives us an opportunity to join together in corporate worship. And this is, you know, worship is not just singing songs and all the things that we do, but that's a huge part of it. And I'm convinced that as we do this, it's a great time to recenter and reprioritize our lives. Because we sing songs about how God is bigger, God is exalted, God is higher, God is for us, God is with us. And when we start thinking about these things and we start singing these things and these things get into our hearts, it reminds us and reprioritizes our life that, hey, maybe my problem isn't that big. Maybe what I'm facing isn't bigger than God. Although when I came in, all the feelings and emotions that I had were out of sorts, and I thought my problem was insurmountable. But now that I've started to refocus and reprioritize, I realize that God is bigger than my problem. And your light just got a little bit brighter. Because when you go out, now you don't have to worry about that mountain. It's become a molehill, right? That's the power of the church. And so what we do when we individually join our light to the collective light, what it does is it makes our light shine a little bit brighter. Everybody have cell phones? Watch this. This is really cool. Turn off the light, Ryan. Hey, slowly but surely. Just kill it. Yeah. It's not all that impressive, is it, right? It's like, oh, there's a flashlight. That's cool. Everybody pull your flashlights out. Let's go. That was quick. You've been waiting for that moment, hadn't you? I don't know who that is. Good job. Fired up. My peewee light doesn't do a whole lot of good. But when we all, man, I wish you guys could see what I see. This is really cool. But when we all add our individual light to the collective light, man, it makes a real difference. It shines so much brighter when we do this thing together. Life is better together. This is the power of the collective light. This is the power of the singular light. This is the influence and the impact that we have when we join our lives together and we do life together. You get the idea? All right, everybody, let's go. Hey, stop. Turn the lights back on. Party people, knock it off. So that's the first point. I think that we can increase our light when we stay connected to the light. The second one is this. This is, I don't know if you can follow this or not, but I'm going to call it quiet light. And I think it's light that we get from spending our quiet time with Jesus. Like, I think that our light and our capacity to be light, we go from 40 watts to 100 watts when you spend time with the source of light. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus, it starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it talks about how Jesus is the Word. And then just a few verses later, it says that he is simultaneously the light of the world. And it says the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Jesus is simultaneously the light of the world and the Word of God. If you spend time in God's Word, your light will increase because you're staying connected to the source of light. That was way better than any of you guys let on. That was some meat. You want some beef? That's some beef. Eat it. Unless you're Shelly, she's a vegetarian. I don't know what you do with that. And so the more we know about God, the more we know about what he expects from us, the better we can represent him, the more honoring we can be to him, the more we know about his character and his nature and his love for us. It just helps us to live lives that honor him and please him. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, if you've ever read Proverbs, if you haven't, you should. It's a really, really incredible book. But if you read the book of Proverbs, you see it's just instructions for life. It's things to do, things not to do, things to stay away from, things to be aware of. And right kind of in the middle of all that, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, in the middle of all these instructions, it says this: these commands are like a lamp. This teaching is like a light. And the correction that comes from them will help you have life. Right? It's like the instruction that we get from God's word is a light. It shows us the way that we should go. It shows us the things that we should do. It shows us the path that we need to be on. And so what we need to do, our responsibility is to know what it says, to know what it means for us and how it applies to our lives and the way that it translates to everyday living. Because it's not just like, man, I think sometimes we think they're so lofty and you know, these deep theological concepts. Man, it's like gritty, everyday stuff that you need. I need to know about grace and forgiveness and mercy every single day, especially if you got kids. And forgiveness and anger and mercy and anger and forgiveness and mercy, right? Every day, I need to know, not just when I go to church on Sunday, I need to know when I wake up and the first thing I hear is, because my son, when he plays video games, apparently his hands are connected to his mouth and all he does is make weird noises. Anger and forgiveness and mercy and grace, these are everyday things, man, and I need to know. I need to know what they are so that my light can shine brighter and I don't kill anybody, namely my children, right? Psalm 119, 105. This one is so good. It says, your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You want to know where to go? You want to know this is the Christian cop-out. I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life. Have you sought wisdom? Have you asked him? Have you read maybe this kind of instruction manual that he left us about what it is that he wants you to do with your life? And I think we use that so many times. Now, there are some legitimate concerns there, but I think most of the time it's just a cop-out. And I think, man, if you're seeking for the answers, there's light that will be shown on the path that you should go. So that's one of the private disciplines that we can do to increase our light. The second one is prayer. Man, I just believe that I've always heard it said that prayer always changes things, and it's usually you, right? Because this is what we want. Like, when we start praying, we want God to change other people. We want God to change our circumstances. We want God to send checks in the mailbox. I'd be all right with that, right? We want God to change external things, but what God usually does is he changes internal things. And I think what happens when we start praying about the things that are going on and we start praying for things and people, I think God changes us and he prepares us and he takes us from this, you know, peewee light and he prepares us to shine a brighter light in the circumstance, in the situation. Maybe he gives you a little more grace to deal with somebody because you can't change them. That's a news flash, right? You're not changing anybody. But what you can do is you can be a light that shines bright. You can be a person who exemplifies grace and dignity in the face of and in spite of whatever circumstance you're dealing with. I think God prepares us by increasing our light to face whatever it is that we have to face. So the second point is quiet light. Man, spend time. Whatever that looks like for you, I don't know. I think everybody's a little bit different. But as you spend your time with Jesus, your light increases. The last one is this. This one's really clever, I think. Staying on the light path. Doo-doo-tsh. Not just the right path, but the light path. The last way that we're going to look at increasing our capacity to shine bright is, man, here's the deal. I think so many times we reduce Christianity to spectacular events. Like we look back, and maybe it's not just Christianity. Maybe it's human nature. It's human tendency. Like we want spectacular in our life. We go seeking for huge things, big things. You want to know what spectacular is? Faithful. You want to know what spectacular is? It's consistent. It's people that are there regardless of the circumstance. Spectacular is when you're with me when it's good and you're with me when it's bad. Spectacular is I don't have to wake up and wonder if you still like me or not. I don't have to wake up and wonder where I stand with you. That's spectacular, consistency and faithfulness. You want to know what's spectacular with respect to your walk with Jesus? Every day. I'm doing this thing. I'm not perfect. I don't get it right all the time, but every day, this is who I am. My identity is in Christ, not in my circumstances. My identity is in Jesus, not in how I feel that day. Thank God for that. Because some days, if my identity was in how I felt, some days I'd be an axe murderer, and other days I'd be Mother Teresa. Right? I'm all over the map. You know, I got some issues that we're working through. Shelley is my counselor. It's all good. That's what our identity is in, is who we are. And as you faithfully and consistently pursue Jesus in your life, you gain confidence. And anyway, that's all. Man, I didn't charge you anything for that. You can drop some tips off at the connection booth on your way out, right? I think it's important just to remember, faithfulness is the goal. Consistency is the goal. Like we have a world that is so enamored with the spectacular and our 15 seconds of fame that we'll do anything. We'll do anything. We'll do stupid stuff. We'll try to make videos that are viral so we have 15 seconds of fame. Nobody remembers who you were. But if you're faithful and you're consistent, you make a larger and larger and larger and larger impact as you go through your life being faithful. Like the concentric circles of people that you affect and you influence because you're there. You're steady plotting. You're the tortoise, right? That's the turtle, right? Why can't they just say the turtle and the rabbit instead of the tortoise and the hare? Getting me all confused. I believe that we live in a world that's volatile. We live in a world that's kind of crazy. There's a little bit of darkness. There's always anxiety and uncertainty. If you flip on the news for 30 seconds, you need an antidepressant, right? Like you're just like, oh my God, the world is going to come to an end and the stock market is doing this and the economy is doing this and there's a war over here and ISIS this and oh my, right? Like you're freaked out. But what if there was a group of people who are pretty even keel, who are always there, who are always faithful, who are always consistent, who are always gracious, who are always generous. Think about the impact that that has on the world that we live in. Think about that, and I don't think it's that your light necessarily is getting brighter. I think it's that their realization of the light is more, you're more aware of the light. Have you ever done this where it's like something has been there all along, but you didn't see it until you really started focusing on it, and then it's like, oh, wow, that's been there all along, and now you really, really, really see it. I think that's what happens with us sometimes. I'm simple enough to believe that we have an influence, we have impact on people's lives just by being consistent, just by being faithful, just by being there, right? And so there's these really cool verses that I think we can use to illustrate this point. That's our goal in our prayer. Let's stay on the light path. Stay on the right path. Stay faithful. Stay consistent. Psalm 43:3, it says this. It says, send me your light and your truth to guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to where you live. Like, that's what we want. We obviously, as followers of Jesus, our goal is to represent him well. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. So that's what we're going for. That's the end goal. And the way that we do that is we stay on the light path. And as we do that, it influences and it impacts the people around us. Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and the one who saves me. I fear no one. I fear no one. Because we have this fear of missing out, right? We got FOMO. And you've got people that are so concerned about what everybody else thinks about them that they won't do what it is that God wants them to do because they fear people. But that's not you, because the Lord is your light and he's the one who saves you. You fear no one. The only fear that you have is a fear of God and missing out on what he has for you. I don't know how you make an acronym out of that. It's not FOMO, it's FOGO. Fear of missing out on what God wants for me. FOMOGO. I don't know. As we do this, as we stay on the path and we follow what it is that God wants us to do, we increase our light. We increase the influence that we have on people around us. So, man, stay connected to the light. I think staying connected to the light increases your light. Spend time with God. That's your quiet light. You increase your light when you spend your quiet time with God. And then the last one, of course, is as we kind of journey together and stay on the light path, we have a greater influence on the people around us. You want to be cute, or you want to be impactful, influential, and make a difference in the world that you live in? I think we all know the answer to that one, right? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us. God, the light that you've shown on your word this morning to show us what it means for us to follow you fully. God, to be devoted to you entirely. God, not just a partial commitment, not just circumstantial commitment, God, but our life is in you. Our identity is in you. Help us to be lights that shine bright wherever we go. God, when we go to work, God, I pray that you would use our life to make a difference on the people that are there. When we go to school, that you would use our life to make a difference on the people that are there. When we go, God, everywhere, to the store, to the gym, whatever it is and wherever it is, you would use us to make a difference. God, I don't know why you chose to use people, but you did. And so, God, I pray that you would use us in an incredible way to change the world that we live in, to change this community, to give us greater influence and greater impact. In Jesus' name.